The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Pete Weatherburn is with us, otherwise known, of course, as Pete the Vet. And given the weekend that's in it, which is the Easter weekend, I want to ask you about bunnies as a possible pet. First of all, are they a good one? Secondly, how well do they interact with more common pets? Can you have a bunny and a cat or a bunny and a dog, or will the cat and the dog eat the bunny?
Well, first of all, I think they're fabulous pets. They're way more intelligent and have much bigger personalities than most people think. And they can be house trained, so you have a litter tray in the house and the rabbit will always go in the litter tray. So they're as clean as cats in that way. So, but they...
Because I always thought that all bunnies sort of got the same personality from Central Casting. Yeah. they're different in character.
That's a huge myth. Yeah, everybody thinks about them being this kind of blank ball of fluff, but that's absolutely not true. And if Google's owner is listening, Google, I'm talking about you. Google is the most wonderful little rabbit that I've met, that is very much a part of the family. And the family routine every day kind of partly revolves around this little rabbit that lives in the house and that they all absolutely adore.
Are they affectionate? Do they interact?
Very, very, very affectionate. Mostly. Also quite assertive sometimes. I used to have a rabbit called Buck, and I would have my lunch in the garden, and Buck would come and sit beside me, and what would happen would be he'd be sitting there for a while and I'd be having a sandwich. Next thing I'd hear this noise, and it was Buck's back feet, and he was basically stamping, saying, "I want some of your sandwich." And I would give him some of my sandwich and he'd be happy. And he actually lives in the garden around the vet practice. He'd been surrendered at some stage and we kept him in the garden. And people would worry about visiting dogs sometimes, might be like we might have a stray dog that was in and it might be let to go out, wander around the garden. People might worry about Buck, his safety. But actual fact, it was the little dog that you had to worry about, because Buck would leap at them and kick with his back feet. Like, he was a very, very assertive and strong-minded rabbit.
But you don't think of rabbits as being tough.
No, you certainly don't, but they are, I can tell you.
How do they compare? Because I assume most people go with dogs and cats as general pets. If you're looking then for sort of the second tier of potential pets, and by the way, 53106, if you have any questions for Peter, 0874-1400-106. Rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, of that set, which do you recommend? Are rabbits up the top?
I think rabbits would be up the top if you want a sort of central pet in the house, one that you really focus on, because they are such big personalities. Always, by the way, you're better to get two rabbits, because they're very social creatures and generally they prefer company of their own species.
My understanding is there is something of a downside when you put two rabbits together.
You have to watch that very carefully. Indeed, you have to get one of them neutered or both of them neutered. In fact, you should get all female rabbits neutered anyway, because uterine cancer is so common in that species that they're best just to be spayed and that's the end of it then. But guinea pigs, you mentioned, I think guinea pigs are great rabbits, especially for kind of children who are, you know, between ages of sort of 4 and 10, because they're smaller and safer than rabbits can be quite big and, you know, they can scratch and they can be quite boisterous and for a young child, quite intimidating, believe it or not.
But guinea pigs aren't biters, are they not?
No, guinea pigs are runner-awayers, really, and squeakers. And the only thing about this is I'd say you have to watch children very carefully with their pets, because they, you know, small pets like guinea pigs are quite vulnerable and, you know, you have to make sure that they're monitored very carefully. But and you have to, again, you have to get the little groups. Guinea pigs are used to living in little groups, and and you also have to watch the separation of the sexes, because it's not so common to spay guinea pigs, but they will breed very, very quickly and effectively if you give them a chance.
A text saying, "We babysat my brother-in-law's rabbit for about 6 months. He used to," I assume this is the rabbit rather than the brother-in-law, "he used to crawl up the back of the sofa and snuggle into the back of my wife's neck like a stole. It was so cute." 53106 or 0874-1100-106. Text saying, "We have a 12-year-old son obsessed with owning a snake. We both work from home, so technically we could do it. What's the legal position in buying or owning an exotic pet in Ireland, and where could we start looking for a suitable snake? And can I add the addendum, why would you want one, Pete?"
Well, my daughter had a snake when she was in her teen years, and I have to say, I think they're really interesting pets. They're not for everybody, but they have their own personalities that you get to know. And the law around snakes, around all exotic pets, is rather limited in Ireland. There's really just a blanket law, the Animal Health and Welfare Act, which obliges you as a pet owner to care for the animal correctly. And probably the biggest problems that we as vets see with exotic animals is they're not kept correctly. You know, people don't fully understand the needs, the environmental, the nutritional, the behavioural needs of those creatures, because they're a bit unusual. So you're obliged under the law to meet their needs. And that's, you know, if you don't do that, well, first of all, the pet will live an unfulfilled life and probably an unhealthy life. But secondly, you are actually breaking the law. So, you know, and somebody could take you up on that. So these exotic pets are fine, but you have to do your research beforehand and make sure you can provide properly for them.
What about, I mean, not casting any aspersions on your profession, but what about veterinary experience in dealing with things like snakes? I mean, if somebody walks into you with an asp, are you up to speed on its needs?
Well, the remarkable thing about the veterinary course is it teaches you to be able to deal with every species of animal altogether, really. So, and you but at the same time, you're probably just a couple of steps ahead of other people, because you haven't got enough detailed experience of these creatures.
And will there be snake specialist vets? Are there vets who specialise in it? I remember speaking to a woman in North Dublin who specialised in fish surgery and had done remarkable surgery on goldfish, which made me think there must be a vet there for everything.
Yes, well, that's it. So if somebody walked into my clinic with a snake, I would look at the basics, but if it was anything complicated, I'd say, listen, you better go up the road to the vet who has a particular interest in looking after these. And they, like, funny enough, I was just visiting the village vets on Southern Cross Road yesterday for a different reason. And I went in there and I saw they actually have a ward for reptiles and a ward for bunnies. Like, they have different wards for different species. So, you know, and these people who specialise in these things, obviously they get better skills and more knowledge. And that's the place to go if you have a sick one.
A text saying, I'm surrounded by sheep farmers. I want to get a mid to large size dog. Any advice on type? And a farmer has offered that I mix a pup with adult sheep to get a good fright. Is this a good idea? As in what? That the pup would be intimidated by the sheep? Is that it?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know about all that. What I would say is that if you were talking earlier on about dogs and rabbits, well, dogs and sheep are similar. You need to be sure that any dog, I mean, dogs have an instinct to chase things.
Runs away,
chase things. So you need to make sure you train them not to chase the animals that you're concerned about. And I know the traditional thing on farms could be I've heard about people putting a dog in a pen with a big ram and the poor dog being terrified by the ram, so therefore staying away from sheep in the future.
That's a pretty harsh way
of doing things. I don't think you need to do that. I think you simply need to teach the dog from early age just to be calm and relaxed around the different species that they're going to be mixing with.
I want to make a suggestion of a diagnosis to this next one myself. It says, we have the most emotionless cat ever. He runs a mile from everyone if you go near him. Anything we can do to make him more sociable? He's like a lodger who just eats and leaves as he pleases. My betting is that's a cat.
Yes. Well, cats vary massively in their personalities. And some cats are scaredy cats. And possibly they've got some feral genes in their heritage that makes them that way. It's very hard to change them. All you can do is spend time with them. Getting them used to your presence and giving them little treats of food maybe, and being very, very, very patient. But that cat is likely always to be a scaredy cat, in my opinion. You know, it's just the way they are. You just have to learn to love your shy lodger.
The good civil roommate cat that can just be a presence but non-demanding. Pete, as ever, thank you so much. That is Pete the Vet.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.